Shabbat Shalom. There was once a king who ruled his kingdom with wisdom and compassion. As he approached the end of days, everyone in the kingdom wondered, who would he elect or choose as the next king? Would it be one of his children, an advisor, possibly a general? To keep the contenders from fighting over the throne, the king put his instructions in a letter, which was only to be opened upon his death. When that day arrived, the kingdom mourned its wise and caring ruler, and then all eyes turned to the letter that he had written. Whom had the king chosen? Not one of his children, not an advisor nor a general. The king had chosen the jester. The jester? Everyone in the kingdom thought this must be a joke. How could a fool be a king? But such were the king's instructions. And so the jester was brought before the royal court. Royal retainers removed his jester costume and replaced him in the royal robes of kingdom. They removed his hat and placed a crown on his head instead. And they sat him on the royal throne. At first, the situation was a bit awkward for the new king as well as his kingdom. But over time, it turned out to be a brilliant choice. The jester was every bit as wise and compassionate and insightful as the old king had been. He listened to everyone with care, advisors, generals, even the commoners of his realm. He treated everyone who came before him with respect and kindness. He used his powers to bring peace and prosperity to his kingdom, and to his amazement, the jester was a superb ruler, and everyone in the royal court agreed that he was the right choice. But there was a mystery surrounding this jester king. Every so often, he would retreat to a distant room in his palace, a room which only he had the key. For a few hours, he would lock himself in there, and then he would return to his throne and to his duties. Most members of the royal court assumed that he went to the room to think, to meditate, or perhaps to pray. They accepted the mystery as part of their beloved king's life. Once, an ambassador from a far-off land came to visit, and he spent many hours with the king. He grew to appreciate the king's wisdom and his kindness. It was rare, he thought, to find a king that listens as carefully as this king listened. It was unusual for a king to seek advice and guidance from everyone who appeared before him. It was remarkable for a king to care as deeply and work as hard for the good of his subjects as this king did. When the ambassador noticed that the king occasionally disappeared into a distant room, he wondered, what is the king doing? Why does he go there? The ambassador couldn't leave it a mystery. So one day, when the king retreated to his room, the ambassador secretly followed. When the king closed the door, the ambassador crouched down and peered through the keyhole. There he took in the king's great secret. In the privacy of the room, the king took off his crown and his royal robes and put on the costume of a jester. Around the room, he would dance and sing the jester's dance and song, making funny faces and silly songs that he used to do in the kingdom. Then he stood before a great mirror and recited to himself, "Never forget who you are. You may look and act like a king, but you are only a jester. You are only a jester pretending to be the king. Never forget who you are." Now the ambassador understood it all. He understood that the source of the king's deep wisdom, he understood that the king's kindness and greatness emanated from his humility. And now that he knew the secret to the king's humility, it made him love the king even more deeply. He vowed his everlasting loyalty to the king, and he vowed to keep the king's secret. Over the years, the king and the ambassador grew close, and one day, when they were alone, the ambassador confessed that what he had done and that he had seen. "I promise on my life that I will never reveal your secret," he declared. "But there's one thing I can't figure out. Of all the people in the royal court, why did the king choose you? Why did he choose the jester?" And the king smiled at his friend slowly and replied, "And who do you think he was before he became the king?" On the surface, this story is about remembering where you came from and allowing it to keep you grounded. Each time the king retreated into a special room and donned the garments of a jester, he remembered that he too was once just one of the people. This gave him the incredible ability to be both present and humble, something kings are not generally known for. But there's a deeper, more important message in this story. When the king was a jester, he probably didn't feel very important. Only later did he realize that his being the jester is specifically what put him in place to be the next king. He just didn't know it at that time. Looking back, he can be thankful that he was the jester, even if he may not have been thankful for it in the moment. Sometimes having the ability to acknowledge positive outcomes that arise from negative circumstances or experiences is an important form of gratitude. Being able to acknowledge that a negative event or period in your life may actually have helped prepare you or even propelled you into a better one allows us to validate and possibly even vindicate some of our negative experiences. To be clear, not every negative experience in our life leads to something better. But being open to the possibility that growth and sometimes something better can come from our struggles is to believe in hope. This week, we close out the book of Genesis and conclude the stories of our forefathers and foremothers. We read about Jacob's death and the brothers' subsequent trip back to the land of Canaan to bury him. Of their travels for burial, we read, when Joseph's brothers saw that his father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did him?" Many scholars and rabbis have pondered what it was that the brothers saw that led them to believe that Joseph might still bear hatred for them, even though he had been treating them kindly and caring for them. Rashi surmises that after their father's death, the brothers were no longer invited to eat at Joseph's table, thus indicating that the relationship had changed. Midrash Tanhuma says that while they were returning from burying their father, Joseph stopped at the pit where his brothers had thrown him into before selling him into slavery. And they heard him whisper, "Blessed is God who performed a miracle for me in this place." From this, the brothers assumed that he must still bear animosity towards them and give God all the credit for his saving. With a suspicion that Joseph still bears ill will towards them, they once again apologize, even throwing themselves at his feet and saying that their father left word that they should be forgiven. But Joseph's reply is revealing. And Joseph was in tears when he spoke to them. But Joseph said to them, "Have no fear. Am I a substitute for God? Besides, although you intended me harm, God intended it for good, so as to bring about the present result, the survival of so many people. And so, fear not, I will sustain you and your dependents." Thus he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. In his reply, we see that while they clearly intended to harm him, and while he was in the pit, a slave, and in jail, he wasn't happy with his circumstances, but he always held out hope that his journey would be made meaningful by a positive outcome later, and that his negative experiences would have prepared him for the journey ahead. As we reflect on the year gone by, what struggles have made us stronger this year? Which mistakes have made us wiser? Not all of our negative experiences will have silver linings, but being open to discovering silver linings, even amidst our pain, can help us find gratitude for the journey we are on. Shabbat Shalom.